You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm with Darren Owen, James Millman and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's Aaron Cartmel on Monday afternoon, Beverly in Windsor in the evening on the domestic front, and there's also a Monday evening card in Ballinrobe. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I'm very well, Mark. Thank you.
Good, good man. We'll start by having a quick look back at the highlight from Saturday, the Irish Oaks. Just a quick mention of what happened there. Another big success for Aidan O'Brien. I believe it's his fifth Irish Oaks success, but it wasn't with the one that we necessarily expected. And that's not the first time that's happened with Aidan O'Brien, is it?
No, but there's no suggestion of chicanery here at all. It's just that we tend to have short memories when it comes to the fillies. And Evensong was impressive in winning the Ribblesdale at Royal Ascot, but subsequent events, the running of those who were in that race subsequently has suggested that the form was nothing special, as tends to be the case. The Ribblesdale is nowhere near as strong an event as the Epsom Oaks, but a few horses ran badly at Epsom this year without obvious excuse. The ground was a little loose and a few of the fillies seemed to struggle a little bit. But in fairness, the first and second had finished first and second in the Lingfield Oaks trial and looked decent prospects for Epsom themselves. Seventh Heaven, she ran poorly. Architecture was second in the Oaks before being turned out quickly for the Ribblesdale, and she didn't give her running that day. She was weak in the market, and she ran well below form. Harlequin had run respectably at Epsom, and the fact that that Seventh Heaven, Architecture and Harlequin filled the places, you know, suggested the form was solid enough. Whereas prior to Ascot, Evensong had been beaten in the Pretty Polly Stakes, and I think sometimes it's difficult to find the pecking order with the fillies. We do know that Minding's outstanding, but in behind Minding, they can shuffle around a little bit, and the winner was probably overpriced in the end. She did it. There's no hint of a fluke about it. She did it very well in the end. Architecture came back to form, arrived with every chance under Frankie, but Seventh Heaven was too strong in the end. And the first three were clear of Turret Rocks, who's another one who ran poorly at Epsom.
Yeah.
But bounced back to form, to some degree, back at the Curragh.
Yeah. So it doesn't look bad form then, is what you're saying. It looks solid.
The Irish Oaks is better form than the Ribblesdale, and the Oaks is better form than the Ribblesdale. And I think because the Ribblesdale had come, most recently, and it came at a big meeting at Royal Ascot, I think a lot of us were guilty of overrating that form.
Hmm. I wouldn't normally ask you any other standouts on Saturday, Rory, but there was that much racing, I'm not sure anybody can remember what happened necessarily. I suppose the Skeltons, well, they had...
It was a great day for Dan and Harry Skelton at Market Racing, winning three, including the big two races of the day. And again, just underlines what a good trainer Dan Skelton is, and he surely will be champion trainer sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
It'll take a while to overcome those who are at the top of the tree just at the moment. But the fact that his horses excel on the big days is very important. And, you know, he was turning the form around, the winner of the big chase, with horses who'd beaten him last time out. And, you know, the best trainers get their horses to peak for the big days. And the sort of middle-of-the-road trainers get wins out of their horses, but when they step up in company, maybe they're found wanting a little bit. And I think he's done a tremendous job with what he has in his care, and he's shown that with the high-profile horses he has, as well as the sort of run-of-the-mill horses.
Yeah.
So fair play to him. One race we didn't cover here yesterday, but we've been a highlight for me, was Mecca's Angel bouncing back to form. She bolted up in the Sapphire Stakes at the Curragh in a fast time as well, and she seems right back to herself, having been in season at Royal Ascot. She's a leading contender now for the Nunthorpe, which she won last year.
Yeah. Yeah, do you just put a line through the Royal Ascot run and say,
absolutely,
back on song?
And that's the only time she's run at Ascot. She missed Ascot last year because the grind was quick And she was pulled out.
Yeah.
Going should have been ideal for her this time around, but she was beaten at halfway. Yeah. And something clearly was amiss, and it turned out she was in season, and that's always a valid excuse for a filly.
Yep, and it looks like all systems go for the Nunthorpe there then. Just one bit of news just to touch on as well before we get stuck into Monday. Bad news for Barry Geraghty. He suffered a fall at Market Raisin. He's broke his arm, and he's going to miss the Galway Festival. It looks like he could be out for up to 3 months, in fact. So.
Yeah, it's not great timing, given that Barry would be looking forward to Galway. But Galway aside... there's not an awful lot going on sort of through late August and September in the UK. So it's not a bad time to pick up an injury. It means that he'll be refreshed. He can take his time recovering from that and come back late September, just before the UK season really steps up a gear. So it's never a good thing. He was sitting in a close second on Chernunos when that one came down at the last. And I don't know whether it was the fall that saw his injury, or there were two horses brought down afterwards, and whether it was a complication on that little pile-up that caused the injury, I don't know. But no one wants to pick up that kind of injury. But it's not the worst time of year to do it, to be honest.
Yeah, he's had a bit of a tough time with injuries. He missed the Grand National Festival, didn't he, with a broken shin bone, and now this, and maybe blessing in disguise, he'll be able to recuperate and come back all guns firing for the new season, perhaps.
Yeah, I'd have thought so. I mean, as I said, you know, it's. If you had to time an injury like that, no one really wants to do it. But the worst time to be picking up that kind of injury is
mid season.
Is mid season, you know, so is mid winter. We saw that obviously with Paul Carberry trying to make a comeback for Cheltenham and being unable to. You don't want to be half fit or untested coming into one of the major festivals. And although you do have two big flagship handicaps over jumps at Galway, it's not quite as high profile in that regard in terms of big races as other festivals, and you know, obviously it's split flat and jumps,
yeah.
And more of the better races are flat races. So he's probably not missing that many winners, and no doubt he can enjoy the crack at Galway anyway.
Yeah.
So in a manner of speaking, it's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, good stuff. Right, let's leave that there. Let's get stuck into Monday's racing. Rory has got four races prepared for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we start our look ahead to Monday's action in the 2:30 at Ayr. This one is a Class 4 handicap. It's over 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, a field of 9 to go to post in this one, Rory. And where do you want to start in there?
Well, Cymraeg Bounty is the obvious starting point. He's been a revelation since joining Ian Jardine. Has won 3 of his last 4, all at Ayr, and over 3 different trips as well. Won very gnarly over a mile and a quarter in May, followed up over 9 furlongs, and then his most recent win was over this course and distance, 7 furlongs, on very soft ground. It was the last race of the day. The ground had turned heavy at that stage. And he made all the running and was never seriously challenged. He's gone up again in the weight, so he won his first race off a mark of 68. He's now up to 85, and he's got 10 stone to carry. He's very dangerous to dismiss. Although the one thing I will say is he won't get an easy time of things in front. There are one or two others who will want to go with him. And so it's a tougher ask. And I think the 10 stone might just find him out. I think he beat the other front runners in the end. But he may find that he's a little bit softened up for one or two that can come from the back of the field. So I'm going to row in with one who was unlucky over course and distance last time out, Moonlight Navigator, up against Royal Duchess again. Who improved her track record when beating John Quinn's gelding by, I say he's not a gelding, he's a colt, by 3/4 of a length last time. But Moonlight Navigator was stopped in his run with about a furlong to go, had to switch, finished well. Wouldn't quite say he was unlucky on the day, given that Royal Duchess was coming from a similar position, but she looks very vulnerable now off a mark of 76 on the balance of her form. Moonlight Navigator has dropped to what is clearly a winnable mark, and I think with the run of things, he should go close. He should overturn that form and go close to winning.
Moonlight Navigator, then the selection for Rory in the 2:30 at Ayr. We go to Cartmel next for the 4:25. This one is a Class 3 handicap chase. It's over 2 miles and 1 furlong. A field of 6 here, and we'll start with Altruism, if we may. Rory arrives here chasing the hat trick, trained by Jimmy Moffat, who likes a winner at Cartmel, and Altruism, a previous winner at the course as well.
Yeah, he's. He's won twice in recent weeks. First of all, over fences when beating DeSoto County, when he made all the running. And then he was slightly surprisingly dropped back to hurdles last time, but did exactly the same. Made all the running, was never challenged. This is going to be tougher for him, it must be said. But I think he's got a touch of class about him. He jumps really well. And although Nick Sensation is going to take him on, my initial reaction was that they would spoil each other's chance. But as long as Henry Brook doesn't go mad on altruism, and he rides Carmel as well as anybody, Henry knows this track very well. Nick Sensation is receiving weight from him and looks very interesting in his old form. But the evidence of recent runs suggests that he's just not the horse he was. He was quite well backed at Uttoxeter last time out. He led, he jumped well, he travelled well, but he folded quite tamely at the end of that, and it seems that breathing problems have rather cut short his ability. And although he's clearly got the speed and the run style to bother altruism in the early stages, I think that Jimmy Moffat's charge is improving and will be too strong for Nick Sensation on the finish. It's a case of whether the pair of them go too hard and set it up for something else. But looking through the race, Kumbishwar would be suited by it, but I just think altruism's a better horse round here than Kumbishwar, despite the fact the pair of them have won over fences here in recent times. So Jimmy Moffat's top weight to make all the running, or most of it.
Altruism then, the selection for Rory there in the 4.25. On a side note, good to see Kumbishwar bounce back to winning ways last time at Cartmel. It's a long time since he last won a race, isn't it?
Yeah, so. I mean, he was a very good horse back in the day for Alan King, and spent a time in the wilderness and has come back to some form for Lucinda Russell. But the bottom line is he had to draw a long way in the weights to win, and he's not quite the force of old.
Mm. Back to air for the 5.10 next. This is a Class 2 handicap. It's over a mile. It's for three-year-olds and older. A field of 14 here. It's going to be one of the more open betting races of the day, and a real competitive handicap, this.
It is really tough stuff. But I am more than happy to give another chance to Lord Ben Stack, who's got a touch of class about him. Things have not gone smoothly since his two-year-old days, but really impressive winner of his second start at two, and has been tried at Group 2 level since. He's clearly been a little bit difficult to train, but he showed when being beaten in the neck by Cumro at Haydock last July that he's a high-class horse on his day. And he either found very heavy ground or the absence against him when only fifth on his reappearance at Pontefract was well back that day. I actually think the drop to a mile will suit him. I think the way to get the best out of Lord Ben Stack is let him stride on. He's a big, long-striding horse, and rather than messing him around and try to settle him in behind horses, because he can be quite keen, I think if he's allowed to go on and try to stretch his field, then he can show his undoubted class. He's getting weight from a couple here, and you know, for a horse who's had Group 1 aspirations, I think he's going to be hard to beat. There are other interesting horses in the race, though. Nicholas T will definitely win handicaps off a mark of 80. And he was only beaten a neck in total behind Pintura, who reopposes here last time. The thing about him is that he's bred to stay further than a mile. He started off in bumpers. He was only beaten half a length over a mile and a quarter here two starts ago, and was finishing really strongly over this trip last time. I think he will end up showing his best form when he stepped up beyond a mile again. But you wouldn't rule him out, because he's likely racing and still improving. The three-year-old, another touch, is better than he showed at Haydock last time, I think. Didn't go his way at all. Previously only beaten narrowly at Doncaster. Given that he's receiving weight as a three-year-old, I think he's dangerous to dismiss as well. But really tough contest. You can give chances to a lot of them. But I think Lord Ben Stack is a class act here, and he gets the vote.
Lord Ben Stack then gets the vote in the 5.10, and we finish off at Windsor in their 7.50. This is a Class 3 handicap. It's over 5 furlongs for three-year-olds and older. A field of 13 here, and let's start with Go On, Go On, Go On, because not only do I like the name, arrives here in winning form, and pretty unexposed as well.
Yeah, should be more to come from Go On, Go On, Go On, from the Clive Cox yard, as has always been promising, and finally came good at in handicaps at Bath. And I say finally came good, it was only his third handicap start and his fifth overall, beating Free to Love by 3/4 of a length. So that suggested that a £3 rise wouldn't stop her in the future, and she's got more scope than most of these. It's not easy for three-year-olds taking on older horses in sprints, but she is progressive, she's reasonably handicapped, and with Adam Kirby on board, she's bound to go well.
Your choice then, or do you take her on here?
I would be wary of taking her on, but I do quite like Foxtrot Knight. It's a course and distance winner. He travels pretty well. Ruth Carr doesn't bring that many south, but Foxtrot Knight has regularly been on his travels. He was only beaten ahead by Bathsheba here two starts ago, and again ran very well when second on the polytrack at Chelmsford last time out behind Shamshon. He's still perfectly well handicapped, just a pound higher for those two runs. And as a course and distance winner, I think stall 12 will potentially be a benefit to him as well. He is sure to go well, and I think he'd be a slightly bigger price than Go On.
Okay, Foxtrot Knight then. The selection for Rory there then in the 750 at Windsor. That completes our look ahead to Monday. Let's just have a little bit of a summary, if you wouldn't mind, Rory, spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, in the air races, the 2:30, I've gone with Moonlight Navigator. In the 5:10, I hope that Lord Ben Snack will make the running, and he'd be hard to catch if he does. At Cartmel, similarly, Altruism will be prominent throughout, and I think he's got the class to win the two-man handicap chase. And finally, Foxtrot Knight in the 7:50 at Windsor.
Superb. Good work, Rory. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you very much.
There you go, the thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45 p.m. with Darren Owen, James Millman and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's Aaron Cartmel on Monday afternoon, Beverly and Windsor in the evening on the domestic front, and there's also racing over the Irish Sea on Monday night from Ballinrobe. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.